I'd like to begin by just saying how much I enjoy this, how much how enjoyable it is to meet up with Talmidim that have come back to the yeshiva, some in my shir, most of you guys were not in my shir, some of you were. It's not about that, it's just about coming back to yeshiva and being in yeshiva, and it's a zechus godol. On behalf of the yeshiva, maybe you haven't heard this enough, but we want to thank you very much. First of all, for coming back, but more importantly, for raising the bar, for elevating the yeshiva, and for showing the present Talmidim, you know, what it means to carry the yeshiva with you, and to use the yeshiva as a stepping stone to further your growth as Bnei Torah and as Ovdei Hashem. So thank you very much for coming and for being mechazik me and being mechazik the yeshiva. The topic of this shiur was inspired by one of the Talmidim who suggested I talk about a certain topic. I hope it's Shavah L'chol Nefesh. I hope it's something which everyone can gain from. And at least for myself, I know that it was something that, as I prepared it, helped me personally in my Avodas Hashem. So thank you for the opportunity at least to help me work on my own. I'll begin with the Maisa. Quick little Maisa. And I was living in Grus, right over there, right behind us. Married, young married, maybe around 17 years ago or so. So I bought a car. That was a chiddush because it was a chiddush. Most people in Grus don't have cars. And we had Baruch Hashem, we had one child, and we were expecting a second one, and my kid was up the hill every single day, and just shopping and all the things were much easier, so we bought a car. A long story, not for now. We got the car from Cyprus, so I was still a tourist, and we had to leave the country every few months and stuff like that. It was a very fascinating endeavor. And I met up with one of my very, very chashuv Rebbe, who's now a Rosh Yeshiva himself. I didn't know him too well, but he said, yeah, here, I bought a car. So he said, Mazel Tov. I said, what? So he bought a car. I said, thank you so much. He said, you've bought yourself time. I said, what? So he explained. He said, in this country, not everyone has cars. You don't have a car, what does that mean? You have to, before the times where the bus stop told you, this is before MoveIt, and before, and it's hard to imagine, it was before cell phones, before MoveIt, you could sit at a bus stop for 20 minutes, half an hour, to wait for a bus, and then catch another bus, you have a car, you can get from point A to point B very, very quickly. So Mazda is voice of time. So again, this story is almost 2 decades ago, but it stuck with me. Because this person was a person who valued and appreciates, valued then and valued now, and appreciated then and certainly appreciates now what time is about. And so he told me when I bought a car, thank you, Mazel Tov, you bought yourself time. I want to discuss today with you the two parts. Part A is discuss the chashivas of Zman, the chashivas of time, and the special place that time has in Yiddishkeit, the special makom that exists for Zman as Jews. And the second thing I want to talk about is hopefully some practical tips to help each person, whatever they're up to in life, work on utilizing the time that we have to the best that we can. So, Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Zayin, at the beginning of Perek Zayin, is talking about Zrizus. He writes the following. This is the beginning of Perek Zayin. Chelkei HaZrizus Shnayim. There's two parts of Zrizus. Echad Kol Maschalas HaMaisa, one before a person begins an action, before he begins to do something. And the second one is afterwards. Before a person does any mitzvah, Zriza says, let's try to make sure not to let this mitzvah become chametz. When the time comes, when you think about doing it, do it right away. Do whatever it is right away. Don't delay. Don't tarry. Don't say, yeah, I'll do it later. I'll do it when I have a chance. Do it right away. Listen to these words. V'lo yaniach zman lizman sheyisrab bein time. Don't let time take its course in between the time that you think of doing something and actually doing it. Don't let time just do its thing in the middle. Why? Listen to these words. Ki ein sakana kesakanaso. There's no danger like danger of time. Why? Asher yinei kol rega, Hashem etchadesh, every moment that comes up, Yuchalis Chadesh is a Yikuv L'Masatov. Something could come up which can prevent you from doing that which you want to do. Whatever the case is, you want to do a chesed, you want to do a... They say about the Chazonish that as soon as he had an idea for a shidduch, he would in the middle of the night, he would call people and say, let's take care of the shidduch right now. He wouldn't wait till the morning. Right away. Why? Because who knows what may happen by the morning. Who knows if in the morning the girl will still be available, she'll get engaged overnight. Maybe it's 3 in the morning. Doesn't make a difference. Right? Don't let time get in the way. So this is Nesach Sharim. We know in our religion that whenever there's a midah ra, there's a bad midah, so midah tova maruba, which means that the positives, the flip side, the good side, is always much greater. If the danger of time is so dangerous, because what could happen in time? You know, in a minute, in an instant, something terrible could happen. So kal v'chomer, when it comes to time, in the positive sense, in terms of utilizing time properly, what can be done in such a short amount of time? So again, the danger of letting just time go by is a great danger. And the opportunity, the endless opportunity that can be accomplished with time is unimaginable. Even the smallest amount of time, even a minute, even 5 minutes, it's hard to even calculate what can be done with time. In the world they say, time is money. True? They say that? It's true. But as Jews, we believe it's much greater than that. Time is not money. Time is life. Money's okay. It's not bad. It never hurt anybody to have a few extra pennies in their pocket. But time is much more chashuv than money. Time is life. L'mashal, what can be accomplished in time? It's just two chazals that came to mind as I was thinking about this. Number one, the famous Gemara, which I'm sure you've learned, you remember from Shana Aleph, from Shana Bet, for some of you, even if not, doesn't make a difference. Famous Gemara, the Gemara talks, a lot of Rabbeim like to dramatize this Gemara and to make it into like a it's a very dramatic Gemara by itself. You don't need any right to dramatize it. It's a very dramatic Gemara by itself. You remember about Elizabeth and Dordaya? Remember that Gemara? Sure, who could forget it? I'll remind you. The Gemara tells about Elizabeth and Dordaya, he wasn't Reb, he used to be Elizabeth and Dordaya. The Gemara says in Abu Nazar, he went and he had a shtickle taiva. That's putting it lightly. He had a very big taiva. He had a taiva for Nashim. And he went after every zona in the world, the Gemara says. And he heard there was one zona that was way out at sea that he hadn't had a chance to experience, and he decided to spend whatever it would cost to go and unfortunately be violent in the very with that zona. And the Gemara goes through a story, I'm not going through it now. And the Gemara says that right before he's about to do the act, he realizes, oh my gosh, she actually tips him off and says, what are you doing? And the Gemara says, he starts to cry, and he goes to the Shemayim Na'aret, and the sea, and he tries all these different things, and then he realizes, he says, Ein Adavar Tali Elabi, it's in my hands, and he starts crying, and he dies. And the Gemara says, Rebbe heard the story, so Bacha Rebbe cried and he said, Yesh Kone Olam B'Sha'a Achas. There are those that acquire their world in one sha'a, in 1 hour, 1 moment. And there are those that take their entire lifetime to acquire their world. A lot to talk about in the Gemara, not for now. But one thing from the Gemara that comes out is, Yish kone olama b'sha'a achas. That means one thought of tshuva, one year of tshuva that he had, was enough to give him a ticket to his olam forever. And then he started to cry. How is that unbelievable? 1 minute. So what was Rebbe crying about? It's a good question. Maybe Rebbe was crying about the opportunity of one minute. Look what 1 minute can accomplish. Look at this fellow. It was the ultimate avaria, the biggest balavera, the most mushkas person out there. And look what he did in 1 minute. Look what could be accomplished in 1 minute. 1 minute is so precious. 1 minute is so valuable. Or perhaps the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that everyone knows. In Perek Dal, the Mishnah says, Yafeh. Sha'a achas. B'tshuva u'ma'asin tovim b'olam hazeh. 1 hour of tshuva and ma'asin tovim in this world is greater mikol chayi olam haba. That's what the Mishnah says. 1 hour, but a good hour, like a solid hour of tshuva and ma'asin tovim in this world is greater than olam haba. What does that even mean? What's pshat in the Mishnah? It makes no sense, l'chora, to me. No, it makes no sense. What's the pshat? There's nothing greater than Olam Haba. Olam Haba is indescribable. The Pesukim describes about Olam Haba, Ayin lo ra'asa, lo kin zu la'secha. It's indescribable. And yet it says in the Mishnah, Yot HaShach, it's 1 hour. The tshuva, the Ma'as HaTovim, in this world more than the entire Olam Haba. I don't know what the Pesach of Mishnah is. I mean, one Pesach obviously is that you can't do mitzvot in the world to come. So the opportunity that exists here is so great. But whatever the Pesach is, I just want to highlight that idea, 1 hour, Shas. 1 hour is so meaningful, so powerful. Shachas, one hour. I want to tell you an incredible story. And then we'll shift to part two. Almost. I saw this maisa in Reino Shabbat. That's where a lot of my stories come from. I haven't seen it in a while. I chazed it over last night in your honor. Valdik maisa. There were two guys from B'nai Brak. Well, the story started in B'nai Brak. And they had a question. Halachic shayla. They wanted to ask Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal the question. They didn't know Bnei Hasharim well. They had never been to Rabbi Yashiv's house. They made their way from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. They knock on the door, and the Rebbetzin answers the door. This was just a lot. This was many years ago. It's going back over 20 years. Rebbetzin Al Yashiv answers the door and says, "I'm sorry, my husband's not home. He's learning." That's what he did. He's learning. So they asked him, "Is he learning in the same place, you know, as he usually is?" She said, "Yes, he's been learning in the same base medrash for the last 50 years." And she smiled and said, "Practically the same seat for the last 50 years." And she smiled with like a nachas smile about the nachas she has from her husband. So they said, "Is it possible to ask him a question? We have a halacha question. We need to ask a very, very pressing question. Can we ask him a question?" So she said, "Yeah, I'll tell you what to do." She said, "Get to the base medrash, such and such base medrash, at 8:05. He davens Maariv at another base medrash at 8:20. And then she said, "But don't be late. Because if you're late, you're probably going to miss him." Okay? They start rummaging through the streets of Bnei Hasharim. It's just like a maze. You know, you're going. And especially like, you know, the old Bnei Hasharim, like little alleyways, trying to find the shul. And they ask, do you know where? And like at 8:04, in like 30 seconds, they come to the shul, huffing and puffing and puffing. And they walk up the stairs with a few seconds, and literally as they look inside, as the clock, as the number second hits 8:05, they hear a safer close, or the Esper Gemara close, and he walks out of the business on the dot to the T, literally, walks outside. A minute later, Rabbi Frati, who was Yashiv's Meshamish, his right-hand man, pulls up in his car, jogs to Maariv. In that 1 minute, they had a chance to ask him a question. They got the answer they needed on the Shaila, and they went away. What's the verb? Pretty wild, Meister. What's the verb? The verb is that Rabbi Yashiv knew exactly what a Shachas was. He understood that there's a time and a place for everything, and that if there's 60 seconds in a minute, tick, 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 I'm going very fast. Seconds are a little slower than that, but he understood the hour is an hour and the minutes are minutes, and I'm supposed to be here until I'm supposed to be here, and then I move on to the next place. And he understood what could be accomplished in 1 hour, in 1 minute, in one sitting, in one session of Talmud Torah, and he utilized it to the max. Okay, very nice. So a minute is pretty amazing. An hour is pretty amazing. Look what could be accomplished in such a short amount of time. Fine. But in Sefer Shmos, which we're just about to start, so we learn a new idea entirely about time. There's a special nekuda about time that Klal Yisrael, that doesn't exist in the rest of the world, I don't think. And that is found in Parashas Bo, when the first mitzvah is given to Bnei Yisrael. What's the first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael as Bnei Yisrael? Shchodesh. Perikid Beis, Achodesh, Azel Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. This month is to you, Rosh Chodeshim. Rashi, the first Rashi in Bereshit says that the Torah really should have began with this mitzvah. Why? Because it's the first mitzvah given to all Klal Yisrael. So I'll ask you, so why is this the first mitzvah given to all Klal Yisrael? What's so special about this mitzvah? What's the chiddush of Achodesh Zelachem, pardon the pun if you will, it says, you know what, this should be the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. What? My yesh bezit. Rosh Chodesh is very nice. We do a moon dance. You know, we sing outside. Tovim be'oro shebar alokin. It's so nice. I'm not making fun at all. Mazeh. Ma yesh. Ma yesh bezeh. What's the nekuda of the mitzvah? There's a very, very famous Sforno on this mitzvah. The Sforno writes like this. I don't know if it's cold again, please let me know, but I don't want to pass out of heat. Mikan ve'elach, says the Sforno, Mikan ve'elach, yiyu achadashim shalachem. From now on, the months are yours. La'asos b'hem kirtzonchem. To do with them as you wish. Why? Allah b'nei ha'shibur. But when you were a slave, when you were in Mitzrayim, and you had a slave mentality, and you had a slave, you were a slave from morning till night, lo yu mechem shalachem, these weren't yours. Aval hayu la'avodas acher meretzono. Your time wasn't yours, your time was somebody else's. Lefikach rishonu lachem l'chad she'ashana, ki bo hitchil mitziyutchem ha'bechiri. Your mitzias as a bocher, your mitzias as a free person, began when you left Mitzrayim. Until then, you were a slave. A slave, his time is not his. What's the chiddush of Achodash Zalachem? What's so special about this first mitzvah Klal Yisrael is commanded in? Here's the idea. There's an expression in the world, I think, in the world. It's like, you know, get with the times. You know, get with the times. Like, you're outdated. Meaning, what does that? I don't mean to like be my eye in too much in expressions. We'll do that a little more today. What does that mean? It means like the times are real. The times are around. You're behind them, you know. So get in touch with them, you know. Like suit yourself up to fit the times, right? I don't know. Sometimes my children say to me, "Abba, you know, what are you wearing?" I pull like an old sweater out of the closet that I haven't worn in 3 years. But they're really saying, "How like that sweater may have been like in, you know, 7 years ago when your mother bought it for you for a Hanukkah present." But like, you can't wear that anymore, Abba. Get with the times, because the times are in. You gotta connect with the times. You gotta be with the times, right? Comes on the Torah and says, no. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, which means, not that you have to fit yourself in with the times, but you are in charge of the times. You are the bailim of time. Time is not something which you have to let yourself connect with. HaChodesh Lachem, you're in charge of the times. What's the mitzvah kiddush HaChodesh? Klal Yisrael determines when the month is going to be. Klal Yisrael determines when is Yom Tov going to be. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadish Yisrael, V'Hazmanim. The Gemara says, Misach, what does that mean? Mekadish Yisrael, Shemekadish Yim L'Zmanim. Klal Yisrael makes the Zman holy. What's unique by us is that we're not moved by the times, or catch up with the times, or get with the times. Our job is to be bailim on the times. Our job is to be in charge of the time. Our job is, because we recognize how valuable time is. You know what time is? You know what a minute is? You know what a minute of Torah is? You know what a minute of a mitzvah is? You know what a minute of tefillah is? Or 5 minutes or an hour? It's priceless. And therefore, Achodesh Zalachem, therefore take charge of the time. Don't let time just pass and catch up with it and get with the times. No. Become the bailim on the times. Become the owner of the time that's in front of you. This is the background. Part one is now officially over. Here comes part two. Azma, very nice. So we said, Mesillas Yesharim taught us that there's a great danger of time, which we learned means Kal v'chomer, there's so much potential in time. And we said, Yesh kol olam v'shachas, 1 hour. And 1 minute in this world is greater than the whole olam haba. And then Yashiv to the T. And Achodesh Zalachem means we're in charge of the times. What's practical? Let's talk a little practically. What does this mean to us? What's the lemaisa? What's the practical application, the applications of this? What else to do? How do I understand, thank you, Shkoyach, time is very valuable. So now what? What's my avodah? What's my job? So I want to share two perspectives, two thoughts on time. If you want to call it time management, call it time management. If you want to call it applying one's time properly, or using one's time properly, Gamzeb said there. Two ideas, not major chidushim, I don't think. But I think that if we think about them and we we use them properly, they could help us a lot in our lives. Myself, 100% included. Number one. One is priorities. Priorities. You can't. Some people in life like to think they can do everything. You can't do everything in life. You can't. A sharp muscle. You can't watch the football game the entire day and also have an afternoon seder during the entire time the football game is on. You can't do it. Unless you watch the football game while your gemara is open, and then I'm not sure how much you're doing, you know. Every day begins, and there's a fresh 24 hours for each of us in that day. Fresh, clean sheet of paper. The question is now, how do we fill that time? Again, college isn't telling us, do this, go here, do this, do that, do this. It's true, we have classes, that's part of our day. But there's so much part of our day that's in our own hands. We're in charge of. So how do we fill our time? How do we use our time properly? By prioritizing and making clear priorities for us in our life. I must get this in. This is a must. This is a priority. I can't go a day without this. What's this? We know what this is. Without tefillah with tzibur, I could go a day without tzibur. It's not shaykh. Without a seder, whatever seder, I'm not telling you, for every person it's very different. Maybe for one person it's you know, without having 3-star every day. And for someone else it's without having a half an hour seder day. It's not the amount of time per se. It's the fact that this is a priority for me, an absolute priority for me. It's not negotiable for me. A lot of times people say in life, if only I had time. I wish I had time. I have no time. What do you want? I have no time. It's true. There isn't enough time in the day. It's true. But what we know in life, fellas, is that what's important to us in life, we find time for. If you're dating a girl and you like the girl and it's intentional in this relationship and you maybe are thinking about marrying her, you're going to find time in your very busy schedule to spend time with her. And if not, break it off right now. But I had no time. But I'm working. Okay, you're working. So after you finish work, you'll make time. But I'm tired. You are tired. But the adrenaline hopefully will be pumping in a way that you're going to want to spend time with her still after the time that you're tired from a long day of work. I have it possible because it's very important to you. And what's important for us in life, we find time for. I have no time to learn. Yeah, right. You have no time to learn. Not you. I'm not talking about this room. I have no time to learn. Yeah, I know. But on Sunday afternoon, you have plenty of time for a lot of other things. I take a long time. And somehow you find time for it. We all find time for things that we want to do in life. The goal is to prioritize in the way that we realize this is a must. I can't be without this. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that after 120 years we're going to be asked a lot of questions. One of those questions is Kavata Itim LaTorah, which means, did you set aside time to learn? It's a funny question, no? It's a funny question. I think it's a funny question. What's pshat in the question? The Moshe knows if you learned or not. What's the question? Kavati, why is that like? That's question number one. The Gemara says the Sanhedrin and the Shabbos. First question. Kavati in the Torah? Kavati in the Torah? What's pshat in the question? Pshat in the question might be along the lines we're saying. We're not really asking, did you set aside time to learn? The Moshe is going to look at all of us after he's going to ask us, was Torah important enough to you in your life that you made time to learn? Was it enough of a priority? Because if you're going to come and say, yeah, I was busy, okay, maybe you were busy, but if it's really a priority, then you can be busy all you want, but you'll find time for it. If it's number one importance in your life, if your best friend calls you up and says, I need you, come quick, I'm stuck. Sometimes you get these hacked emails, you know, I'm in London, and my money was stolen, please, you know, send me money right away. And you know, like, run from that, you know, right? But if really your friend was really stuck in London, and it wasn't a hacked email, and you were really, and it was your best friend, you would drop everything to save him, do whatever you could, because he's your best buddy, obviously. Because it's a priority for you. Because you love him, because he's your friend. So what did you not do for him? When the Baruch Shalom asks us, Kavati to Torah, that's the question. It was, how chashuv was Torah to you? Was it important enough that you made it a priority that no matter what came your way, you learned? I'm going to show you a beautiful maisa that I experienced once in my lifetime. I have a family member of mine who lives in a certain community that is a very, very, very wealthy person that lives in that community. And he's a very, very, very big Baal Tzedakah. And this family member of mine is very, very close to this person. I never met him before. I was excited to meet him. So I went once to visit this family member of mine. I don't want to say details, so I'll be very careful. And I came to this person's house, and I was all pumped. Right. It's my opportunity to meet this, like, very, very hush of a person. I had no intention of, just wanted to meet him. I heard so much about him, I wanted to meet him. So I came in, the house is a regular house, kids doing their thing, mommy making supper, everything's, you know, fine and dandy. And I said to this member, family member of mine, I said, you know, can I meet so-and-so? I'd love to meet him. And I heard wonderful things about him. So he looked at his clock, and he looked at me, and said, with a sigh. I said, what's the problem? He said, right now he has a chavrusa. I said, okay, it's very nice. Call it a word. He said, you don't understand. He said, he's a very, very busy man. He has meetings all day long with his business and with his assets and with his deals. He's always busy. But the time that he has in chavrusa, barring an extreme emergency, he's untouchable. Phones are off. Donald Trump could be calling and saying, I want to meet with you. Lo mishaneh. It doesn't make a difference. Why? Because he understands that when the question that they're going to ask is, Kavati Tim Torah, that question is not just the question, did you learn? The question is, were your priorities set up in a way that was straight, that was clear enough that it was non-negotiable for you? That it was so valuable to you, that it was so important to you to learn. That's number one. Number one is priorities. Number one is to get our priorities straight, to decide for ourselves what's so important, and to build our schedules and our lives around that. Most people in this room are in college, I think. College is a hard time. There's a lot of things going on in college life. I remember when I was in college, it wasn't too long ago. It wasn't too short ago either, but it wasn't too long ago. I went to YU. Good times. Those were the days in YU that you could do YU very, very quickly, and I decided to go that way. I went the accelerated pace. Four semesters in college, that was enough for me. It's all I needed, quote unquote. The fact that I had a Yerushalmi test didn't hurt. They gave me 9 credits. I had a few other summer courses. 4 semesters, Baruch Hashem, I was done with college. And certainly, as many of you probably just experienced now, when finals come, so it's like you know, like the whole world shuts down. Everyone just goes to the libraries, into the study rooms, and they study, and that's Beseder Gomer. But there's 10 weeks of the semester that aren't like that. And during those 10 weeks, there's a lot going on, not just in every school, in every institution, a lot going on. And if a person wants to get distracted, there's no lack of distractions. There's this club, and there's that game, and there's this party, and there's this event, and there's so many. And I've had my family. I'm all for family. There's so much going on. How do you get it done? How do you get it in? So there's only one way. There's two ways. One is prioritizing. I'm not budgeting. My things in life that are so essential, are so chashuv to me, I will not move from. And you can get a lot more in than you think. The second idea that I wanted to spend the last few minutes on discussing is it's a big yisod. It's a yisod that I'm still learning, as is the first one, very much. I can't leave the first one before I tell you one thing. As you get older in life, and it goes very fast, like I always like to share, it goes very fast. Time doesn't fly. Time, what's a faster word than fly? I don't know. But it goes faster. It's like it's lightning speed. It goes so quick. You're like, whoa. It's January already? Whoa. What are you talking about? Whoa. How did that happen? I'm turning 30 already? 30? I wish. I'm not turning 30 anymore. Yeah. What? I was just a yeshiva bacher. I was just learning the business, like, you know, like a yeshiva bacher. Now, what? But the yisoda priority is so important, though, just because as you get older in life, life gets much more complicated. Throw into the college mix a job. Throw into the job mix a wife. Throw into the wife mix children. And you still rich on a lot of parents and grandparents. And one day there'll be grandchildren. And imagine like all that as part of the mixture. How do you do it? How do you do everything? The answer is you don't do everything, but you prioritize. What's really chashuv I do, what's not as chashuv I don't. The second is so that I want to try to develop with you for a couple of minutes is this one. In America, another expression I want to try to lumbicize a little bit, quote of Hirsch. Lumbicize. Love that word. There's a concept called quality time. No? Quality time. No major lumbas here. What's pshat of quality time? What does it mean? Here's what it means, usually. Classic case is the cat's in the cradle. The cat's in the cradle? I'll enlighten you. The father that's far away, he's busy at work, no time for the children, comes home, it's very late, he has to go to sleep, so I'll have quality time with my child. And the quality replaces the quantity, right? I can't have the quantity, I'm busy. I got stuff that I gotta do. I'm busy with stuff, so I can't give you quantity time, so I'll give you quality time. That's the idea, I think, of quality time, more or less. Correct? You've heard of quality time? Good. So I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and I want to maybe say, or suggest, or just throw out to you the following idea. While that concept might exist, and it might be out there in the world, I think from a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem perspective, it's not the right approach. What do I mean? I mean like this. The goal should be that even the quantity time is quality time. That whatever a person does, it's with quality. I'll give you a muscle. Ernesto C. Finkel, that's how. The Mir Rosh Hashiva passed away 5 years ago. Who was in yeshiva when he passed away? Did I hear that year? You hear that year? Am I sure that year? Gvalik. I was in America. My wife was in America. I missed the Leviathan. I was home. I remember the day very, very clearly. I couldn't go to Leviathan. I had to watch my children. So, Ernesto Finkel was, he passed away at 69 years old. What he accomplished is just, it's unimaginable. An American-born Chicago man comes to Eretz Yisrael at 17 years old. Stays on in the Mir, becomes the Mir Rosh Hashiva. The Mir Rosh Hashiva? Mir? Okay, yeah, the right last name, it's true. Okay, he happened to be related, it's true. But how is that even possible? Like, he went to Ida Crown Academy, the Academy. Like, what's going on? It doesn't make any sense. But forget the fact that he became a Hashiva. How did he accomplish so much in his life? How did he build so many buildings? How do you have time to give shir with all of it? How do you have time to have a charusa with every single kid that asked him for a chavrus in the Mir Yeshiva? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Rav Twitsky Rebbe told me once that the Ernest Mitzvah book is one of the greatest Musar Sfarim he ever read in his life. I'm now reading the book about Rav Moshe Twitsky, his brother, Hashem Yikom Damo. It's one of the greatest Musar Sfarim I've ever read in my life also. Unbelievable Musar Sefer. How do you have time? Where do you find the time? There aren't enough hours in the week. If there's 6,000 guys in the yeshiva and they all ask him for a charusa, just do the math. What? And he's a Rosh Yeshiva, and he's a father, and a grandfather, and he's building institutions, and he's building buildings. What in the world is going on here? Were there six of him? Did he have a clone? No. And he was disabled. He had Parkinson's disease, for crying out loud. Half time, last 20 years of his life, half the time he was lying on the couch. And you say to yourself, what in the world? If you don't say that to yourself, fine. I say it to myself, what in the world? How does it make any sense? Where? I don't know if this is the answer. I think this is the answer. First of all, obviously it's all Siyat Deshmaya. That's obviously the answer. But someone told me Lubavitcher said it says he sold also. I'm not to say. So I guess it's... I didn't see it from Lubavitcher. I would not be surprised. It's written in a lot of Svarim. I think the Yisod is that if everything he did 100%. Everything he did, whatever he didn't do a half job. Everything he did to the max, you could accomplish so much more. There's 24 hours in our day. But let's be honest, I'm being honest with you. How much of our day are we maxing out on the day? How many hours are like that of a Yashiv hour that we can literally like, you know, watch the second clock go around and 8:05 comes, bing, close the Gemara. How did the Yashiv accomplish so much? Yeah, because every hour was an hour. They say the biggest master is not the master that learns 18 hours a day. It's the master that is the one that learns 60 minutes at every hour. That's the master. Not the amount of hours lived in a day. Did he make the Hanukkah challenge? Did he go to Papagayo's? Did he 20 Papagayo's and he had to pay the extra 90 shek? Or did he... That's nothing against it. I'm all in favor of the Papagayo's challenge. It's a wonderful thing. Hanukkah challenge, great. Hasmada is that. Hasmada is maximizing the hours. Is when you're learning. And every bit of energy you have is learning. And when you're playing ball, excuse me, every ounce of energy you have is when you're playing ball. My father told me, when he was in the Kola in YU, when he was in Smicha in YU, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Zatzal was the Rosh Kola. Before Rav Shechter was the Rosh Kola. Before Rav Aaron made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael to the Gush. And my father told me that once a year, you can ask my father to verify this, but he told me many times, once a year, on Lag BaOmer, Rav Aaron would come and play basketball with the guys. My father described the following thing. My father, I think, was a good ball player back in the day. We never really played ball together so much. By the time, like, you know, I was just some older to play ball, my father was too busy to play ball. Back to the cats in the cradle. Whatever the case may be. Lemaisa, I don't hold it against him. He did right. The point being that Rav Aaron used to play ball with the guys. So my father told me that you would think if I were to come on the court, and like when he would dribble, you know, towards the hoop for whatever, for a drive, so like it would be Kriyas Yamsuf, because, you know, the Rish Kriyla, the Varan Lichtenstein, was then a giant, it's coming, like, you know, move back. My father said, that's what happened. But not because people move back. Because he zipped with unbelievable speed across the court. Like he was, you know, with the same intensity, with the same hasmada that he had to learn a Ramban on Shas, or to give a shir on a Tosos, that's how he played ball also. When I was once in Gush, for a few hours, that just happened to work out. I was in Netzis Vaikolo, as a kid, Netzis Vaikolo, probably around 20, whatever years ago. And we used to go to Gush as a trip. One Thursday of summer, we used to go to Gush as a trip. So we used to, Aram would give us a shir, and then we'd have lunch in Gush. I once sat at the same table as Rav Aaron Lichtenstein eating lunch. Good, no? It's cool, no? This is how it went. His soup came. There was soup. I don't know how it was. I'm going to eat the soup. I don't know what. It was the summertime. I guess it wasn't that hot. I don't know. Learned it. The soup came. This is how it went. You could count. He took a spoon and like literally like there was a revolving spoon into the bowl, into his mouth, into the bowl, into his mouth. 3 minutes, he bracha achron and he was out. I'm not sure how healthy that is. I'm not judging his health. You know, I'm not saying you should try that at home. But everything he did, he maxed. Everything he did was to the max. It was, he learned to the max. He played ball, whenever that happened, to the max. When he ate, he did what he had to take care of. I think it's a secret, not just in, you know, in the world. I'm sure it exists in the world, but also for Shabbat Gdoli as well. That their hatzlacha, their ability to accomplish so much, and to maximize so much out of time is because they recognize, like you mentioned before, that the time is so precious, it's so valuable, And therefore, whatever I'm doing, I give 100%. And if I give 100% of everything I do, then somehow 24 hours is not 24 hours. 24 hours is much more than 24 hours. Because the same 24 hours I was using before and I was like, you know, chilling through. I think it's a good chill. I'm down for a good chill once in a while. So you can also chill 100%. 100% chill. What does that mean? For everybody, it means something else. I don't know. It means, please, get a massage, you know, while your feet are up, while you're drinking your favorite drink. Because you need that to... My brother, I have a brother who works in Google. In Google, I call it Jugal. It's not my chiddush. In Google, they want to make your life as easy, as good as possible. They want to make the work environment as great as possible. And everything there in Google for you. Kosher meals 3 times a day, whatever you want. Just press a button, they bring you kosher meals. On the house.
Because you're working.
You know, they see a doctor, no problem. They have doctors, dentists there. A masseuse? Yeah, a masseuse. You want a massage in the middle of the day. Why? Because you're working. You know what? If your downtime, if your chill time is a massage, you need that. Because, hey, get a massage 100%. So that when you get back to whatever you're doing, back to the office, to your desk, back to your charusa, back to your wife. We live in a world, I'm almost done, I'm really about to finish. We live in a world where everybody's multitasking. Multitasking. All the time, always multitasking. What does that mean? I'm listening to one thing, I'm reading something else, I'm talking to somebody else, and I'm thinking about something else. At the same time, I have 4 things going on in my life right now. I'm thinking about, it's going to be a shraga, should I go for supper tonight, shraga, should I stay alumni, you know. When I was in here, shraga, the schnitzel was, you know, was, I'm thinking about one thing, and I'm listening to something else, and I'm, we live in a world that's multitasking. That's good in some ways, but it's hard in other ways. Because a person who's a jack of all trades is a master of none. It's probably a better way to say that. But you get the gist, I hope. It means you're so spread out that everything you're doing is half. You're working halfway, and you're davening halfway because I'm thinking of something else now. And we're not putting in 100%. And the hatzlacha of people that have this ability to accomplish so much with their time, which is so precious and valuable, is because they realize it's so precious and so valuable, and they put in 100%. Whatever they do is 100%. And with that, they can accomplish such a great amount. Let's just chazer and we'll call it a day. Bez Hashem. Chazer is good. We began with my car. My friend, I bought time. Chashav Rosh Hashiva. Bought time. Then we said in Mesilas Hasharim, and there's a big danger of time, which brought us to the fact that there's a great danger for time. There's also a tremendous opportunity for time. How great of an opportunity? The Gemara of Elazar ben Dodaya, Ish Kone Olam V'Sha'achas, the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Yafesh Sha'achas Shal Koras Ruach, Olam HaZem Mikol Chayam HaBar Lal Yashiv, at the clock, we came back to it a few times, at the clock, 8:05, bing, closes the Gemara, outside. What's the chiddush of the time? The chiddush of our time is that we don't get with the times or catch up with the times. We are the bailim on the times. HaChodesh Elachem, time is ours, it's forno. And until then, we were slaves. A slave doesn't have bailis over his time. Kal Yisrael, HaChodesh Elachem, it's such an important chiddush. Time is yours. What's the lamaisa? Two lamaisas. Number one, prioritize. Kavatitin LaTorah, to make sure that what's important to us is extremely important to us. That it's our day and we have the right to decide what we're going to put in our day and fill our day with. That's number one. Number two, the second point was quality time. Quality time means that whatever we do, we should try our best to do 100%. Not quality time, oy, b'di'eved, if I can't give the quantity, let me at least give the quality. No. Ideally, we should try to strive for a situation where whatever we're doing is quality. Don't be a half student in college. Don't strive for a B. Strive for an A. Push yourself to do well in school. And when you work one day, don't work just enough to like get by and cut the corner. Don't cut the corner. Work 100%. And it's definitely work. And when you learn 100%. With your wife, at supper time, don't be checking your emails. At supper time, or your WhatsApps, or your Snap, whatever things, or your Instagoos. I know these things are Instagrams, or your Snapchat. No. Give her the time of day. We have a rule in my house, which we always, almost always try to follow, and I'm closing with this. During supper time, almost no matter who calls, no one answers the phone. Someone told me in their house there's a box. And when it's time for supper, call a kavod. It's like, the rabbis and the shiva, they give out a box during Seder because no one gets on their phone. Supper time. Put your phones into a box so everyone gets supper together. Beautiful. Call a kavod. It's nice. It's a beautiful thing. Do you know one last stat? And then I'm going to stop. My wife told me the stat. Most of my stats come from my wife. She does all the research for me. Families that are separate together, keep this in mind, put this away for down the road. Families that come together, their children are much, much, much less prone to having problematic lifestyles than families that don't. A push of fact. Again, just family supper time together is not solid for your children. You know what that means? That means take the phone, whatever the machine you have. Soon phones are going to be obsolete. Not something else instead of a phone, whatever. Whatever machine you have, by the time you get there, hopefully soon, in the right time, with the right person, whatever, okay, good, shut up, amen, fine. Put it aside, because quality time means that whatever we're doing, we should do with 100%, we should be zocha b'ez Hashem, to internalize these messages. I think they're, thank you again. First of all, thank you for coming, thank you for being mechazik me, and we should be zocha to use the time, the most precious gift in the world, time is life, like we said, the most precious gift in the world that we have at the time, to utilize it to the max, to Bez Hashem become, to continue to become the greatest that we can become in all areas, to be as Yireim, as Shleim as possible, and to try our best to bring Nachas to the Ribono Shalom, bring Nachas to ourselves. A wonderful day. Thank you for coming, everybody. Thank you. I'll help you.